Recording. Before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Your support really makes this podcast possible. A very special shout out to Fernando P, Ames T, Christian G, Cassandra G, Evelyn, Bianca, Ronnie, Annabelle, and Miranda E. If you would like to support us, you also get like little bonuses such as video versions of the podcast at $5, and then like an extra bonus episode for $10 and other such things. So yeah, just check out patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link will be in the description. Let's start the show. Hello, 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 everyone. This is Ruben coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
And this is Cassandra coming to you from El Paso, Texas.
El Paso in the house. And today's recession indicator is all you idiots making fucking AI art. And I hope that Studio Ghibli sues the fuck out of all y'all and takes all of AI's fucking broke ass to courts and shuts that shit down. Like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of like the contempt you people have for artists. Like, you feel like you're one-upping artists and diminishing their work, saying that a computer could do it. Like, bitch, you are just feeding into the machine that's one day gonna dehumanize us. Because what are humans if not souls that can create something or like think like creators, you know? Like, creativity is what separates us, I think, from flamingos and chimpanzees and the fish in the ocean. So, like, y'all need to stop feeding that machine, which, by the way, like wastes so much water in this already like dry ass like earth where we barely have enough water, and it's fucking up our planet. But y'all need a little doodle of you as a fucking Simpsons character. Like, shut the fuck up. Pick up a pencil. How about that? How about fucking learn a skill? Y'all should be telling these AI motherfuckers why these AI machines can't fucking, work at the factory. Like, why they can't fucking clean the streets or some shit. Or, like, something that's supposed,
Que
or, like,
hagan algo.
yeah, que tengan que hacer. Like, why are AI, why do they get to do the leisurely stuff, like art and, like, writing and all that fun shit? Like, why is AI not the one fucking laboring out there? Y'all are so ridiculous. Like, stop contributing to
Why
shit.
aren't they doing slave labor in prisons?
Girl, enslave the robots. I mean, I think that was the plot for that Will Smith movie, but I never saw it. So, I, Robot.
So, AI art is the official art of the 21st century fascism. That's the tweet I saw, and that is
Real.
accurate as fuck. I don't know if you saw the tweet that the White House has, and now Israel also posted like their version of it, and it's like, what is going on? Well,
Yeah.
I know what's going on, but
And the image, for y'all who don't go on twitter.com and know about the fuckery of the official White House account, they posted a Studio Ghibli like image of someone who got caught like selling drugs,
it was
who,
just like they were just deporting someone,
yeah.
and they're saying, the tweet before, so the tweet was like actual pictures, and it says fentanyl. I don't know how to say that word.
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl dealer arrested. And it's like them arresting Virginia Basora Gonzalez. This is the tweet. A previously deported alien felon convicted of trafficking was arrested by ICE in Philadelphia. And so then they made an image of that, like an AI image of them arresting or deporting this woman.
And like,
Like the official White House tweeted this, like,
yeah, like,
and
yeah, it's AI is like the official art of fascism because it's so low effort, it's so soulless, it steals from actual artists, and it's ugly. It's so, oh, girl, pick up a pencil.
So
And
generic.
Yeah, and I really fucking wish Studio Ghibli like fucking sued y'all's asses because y'all like making all these like shitty like AI images in his style just reflects the fact that y'all didn't listen to shit about those movies because most of those movies are anti-fascist movies or environmentalist movies that are always warning us of like the harms of like dictatorships and like not seeing the value in human life because Miyazaki himself survived like saw what happened after World War II after they bombed Hiroshima and what did that did to Japan and he devoted the rest of his artistic career to warning humanity against shit like that. But y'all are gonna and about like preserving the natural world. Like that's what Princess Mononoke is about and like Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind and shit like that. Like y'all just like pretty pictures but don't listen to the fucking stories. And you know what? Another recession indicator, the literacy has gone down in this country, right? Because y'all can't see the fucking point of these Miyazaki films other than pretty pictures that I want to evoke. Like, girl, pick up a fucking pencil. I'm so bothered.
Pencil and a brick.
Oh, those are two things.
That's what we need. That's what y'all need to
New
do. That's what
shirt
we need to do
designs.
to come to combat fascism.
New shirt designs, a brick and a pencil. For real.
Right. Well, that was a good rant to start off the episode. What else are we going to rant about?
Girl, you ever say something fucked up in a group chat and then you hee hee ha ha and then you're like, all right, girls, you can never say this to anybody ever again.
Of course, I think so.
But have you ever planned war crimes in a group chat?
Absolutely not. But tell me about it, because I've seen stuff about it, but give me the rundown.
So, like, it was about 12 like high-ranking military officials had this Signal group chat, which is
It
like
was
an
Signal.
yeah, it was like an encrypted like chat app, which by the way, if your organizers like get on one of these encrypted chats so that your shit is also unlocked, because the only reason that these fucking war criminals got caught planning like bombings on like Yemen and other countries to supposedly help Europe out, or as they once have said in their group chat, bail Europe's useless ass essentially, out of some shit troubles they were having in the Middle East because of their colonizing bullshit. But they were essentially planning war crimes on this group chat and accidentally added the editor in chief of The Atlantic, which is quote unquote used to be like a progressive like magazine. Who previously like reported on war and like whatever. We'll come back to this editor because he's not all squeaky clean. But he's actually fucked, is what I mean. But they accidentally added this editor in chief because he had the same like first initial and same last name as another high-ranking military official and didn't notice like that he was there like until he left the chat. Basically, until it said like this motherfucker left the chat. Then they noticed, like, oh, why would this high-ranking official leave the chat? And apparently, the editor didn't realize that the chat was real until, like, a lot of the things that they were saying, like, we're bombing Yemen or whatever, like, ended up happening. And then he logged into the chat and he saw that, like, they were sending emojis of congratulatory, like nature. Like, there was, like, a fist, was, like, a fire and, like, an eagle and, like, say like essentially like symbolizing they had like bomb people. And this editor in chief is not squeaky clean either because he has his own ties to Israel. Like he, supported the IDF, served even. And The Atlantic went from like a mildly progressive magazine to like basically now like kind of neoconservative trash that's always trying to like poke holes in leftists like really progressive talking points, obviously like they're pro-Israel and shit. But all this went down in this group chat that they accidentally added people, and it's alarming for multiple reasons. A, like they obviously are not that safe about it because they added random people. But B, it also, because it's encrypted, it means that a lot of those files, a lot of the things they talk about are like unavailable and will be unavailable to the public. Right. And the thing about like all these moves that the government makes is that they have to be available to the public, maybe not immediately, but like in decades, right? Just like we just got the JFK files like 2 weeks ago or whatever bullshit. Like all these file these like classified files will have to eventually become unclassified for like quote unquote transparency, like decades after the harm has been done. But that's the way supposedly we keep the government accountable. But yes, now all these war crimes are in some lost chat somewhere, and the editor-in-chief did not do his journalistic duty and like screenshot shit because he's in a fucking accomplice and he just stayed long enough to get the scoop on the story. So yeah, that is what happened in that scenario. And obviously I'm very pissed about this as well.
Yeah, and it's also so dehumanizing, like when you think or when you take a look at it that way, like they're just on this group chat, like, oh yeah, we're just gonna bomb these people. Like, what the fuck? I mean, that is how they treat war, right? And obviously they don't care about these people, like fucking yeah, but like to just casually talk about it in a fucking group chat, like these are people's lives and they're just planning, like it's that and like the shit that like the White House is like sharing is wild. Wild fucking times that this like it blows my mind.
Yeah, they just bombed a bunch of people and they think that like emojis are like the appropriate response. It's just, yeah, like you said, it just shows how like little they see our, they don't see our humanity. They don't see people's humanities at all. And if they're doing that for Yemen, they're doing that for Palestine, they're doing that. I'm reminded of the quote that like, the cruelty is the point. Like, if things don't make sense, like, why are we paying to bomb Palestine? Like, what, how did our freedoms get over there? Like, the point is to like keep us in line and to keep us hopeless. And they don't give a fuck because if they're laughing at all that shit, they're also laughing at like, the suffering
People
that's happening.
suffering,
Yeah.
yeah, there's nothing to add to that. It's like I know that a lot of memes came out of that, and like we can laugh, like we laugh at everything else because, like, what the fuck, because, like, what the fuck else we're gonna do, but it is just very dehumanizing, and that's not so new, really. What else do we need to rant about on this day, on the last day of fucking March, by the way, fucking finally.
Yeah, March
March.
wasn't that bad. The weather, I don't know. The rains finally came in Portland.
Well, I'm very happy for you. The sun is like out, it's good, but everything else has been just not good and long. As I mentioned, this month was long. I don't know what April has in store, but it cannot be as bad as March or January. Knock on wood somewhere.
But along the lines of like, the government gets to dehumanize us and doesn't see us as people. Like, as we've mentioned in like past, just like maybe even the last episode, is like with the whole ICE stuff, the ICE raids like picking up again in new ways or in some, in ways that are getting national attention now, I mean. We've talked about how like they also get to define like who is or who isn't a citizen, right? And who isn't a criminal. And in recent times, people were asking, like, because they were saying that, like, green cards are going to be revoked or whatever, based on like, criminality and like people being labeled criminals. And somebody asked, like, the press secretary, like, how will you decide who's a criminal? And they're like, oh, that's up to us. And like, they're basically leaving how they identify people, like, at their own whim. And just recently, less than a week ago, ICE officers arrested a 54-year-old person, Julio Noriega, and held him in ICE processing centers before they even checked his wallet and realized that Julio Noriega was in fact a citizen. This on top of the fact that just a week or two ago, they arrested ICE arrested yet another student activist. This time at Tufts University, they took Rumeysa Öztürk and for her pro-Palestinian activism, and basically labeled her like a criminal or a terrorist for supporting Palestine. So they're deciding who's a citizen, who's a non-criminal or a criminal, and yeah, it's rounding people up, and it's like, how do I say this? I don't want to like alarm people more. I mean, there should be some level of alarm, but I don't want to promote my hysteria or anything, but I do want people to realize that this is like not the first or the second time that like the government has decided these type of people are a national threat, and we're gonna do something about them, right? Most recently, we had things like during Trump's first presidency, the quote unquote Muslim ban. Before that, after 9/11, George Bush also had his own type of like discriminatory procedures against Muslim folks. Not to mention like the National Surveillance Agency that took off, the NSA that took off during Trump's time. But even like historically, we're looking at the Japanese internment camps of when they put all sorts of Asian folks, but primarily Japanese folks, into these internment camps because they thought they were like a national threat. And for fellow beaners out there, like especially the Republican ones, girl, like just Project Wetback was just 30s, 40s, was it? When they were just rounding us all up and putting us on a train and sending us to fucking Mexico. Even if we were citizens and even if we weren't even of Mexican descent, girl, they were sending us all back there on train. So we are not somehow protected by citizenship, not historically and not actually. And, shout out to my girl, Jennifer Lopez, for her work on the movie Mi Familia, which shows what happened to some families during this time of Project Wetback.
Yes, it is. You said everything that I needed to say. Sorry. I'm just like trying to find. Sometimes there's like nothing new to add because everything you said is on point. Which, speaking of, today is also César Chávez Day, right? Yeah, it is. Who also, well, we're not here to talk about César Chávez. Today's César Chávez Day. Today is
It's also Eid, so. Oh,
today
yesterday was Eid, but
is
damn.
Trans Day of Visibility as well. There's a lot of it's
Oh shit, today is his birthday. Shout out to Cesar Chavez for creating the struggle.
for being a tool for Operation Wetback.
Girl, yes, Cesar Chavez, just a
His
refresher.
he started his own Operation Wetback.
Yeah, let the children know.
César Chávez routinely called Border Patrol on Mexicans, undocumented Mexicans, because he saw them as scabs, right? Like when they went on strikes, they would hire undocumented Mexican workers to fill in. And obviously he saw them as like traitors, whereas obviously they're just workers. They're just here to work, right? They're not here to strike or anything. Regardless of that whole situation, it's like this man was literally calling Border Patrol on them and would routinely call them wetbacks, right? Like I feel like he used that word a lot. A mess. A mess.
Yeah,
That
just.
that plus Huerta.
Oh,
A
God.
mess, a
Dolores
mess.
Huerta.
But you know what? Our haters don't like it when we talk about Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez. So
Dolores Huerta still out here? Let me see.
Thank you very much. Is did you see the movie that they made
With
with,
America Ferrera.
was it America for
I
who
believe so.
played, did she play Dolores Huerta?
I believe so. But yeah, she's alive. She's 94. Damn.
She's 94.
I would not. I would be so tired.
Llévame Dios.
For real though. Oh, what the fuck? Where is she? Who played her?
I know Zoe Saldana was in that movie. Who did she play?
Was she?
Oh, her birthday is April 10th.
Oh,
Oh,
they
so
have.
her birthday's coming up. So today was Cesar Chavez's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so they're both Aries. Okay. Interesting. So she's about to be 95 in like 10 days.
Oh my God. So they're both Aries. What, tell us about what that means.
But they both want the you want me to be nice? I mean,
No, I need
they're
you to
Aries are
be.
leaders. Aries are leaders. They're like the first sign of the zodiac. They're leaders, they're brave, they're, you know, they got anger issues. Yeah. I don't say about that. But yeah, they're both Aries, just like Mariah and Gerard are both Aries. I don't know what that means. But anyway, I've got sidetracked because I started naming everything that was happening today. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Are we, what are we talking about next? Are we doing I threw everything off with bringing up.
No, it's fine. You needed to find your way here
Yeah,
into the
it's
current
been a long
moment.
day. I apologize.
Yeah. I swore I saw America Ferrera play Dolores Huerta in something, but I
She
cannot.
did in the Cesar Chavez movie,
Oh,
but I
damn.
think that they made a movie just about Dolores,
Oh, no, it's still in the
right?
works. That's still in the works.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't
Yeah.
come out yet.
No. Huh.
Okay. But I know, I feel like Zoe Saldana's involved in that somehow.
Damn, you just come for her. You just come from your for your
No.
you just hate your Afro-Latina sister.
Wow.
I just think about her Oscar speech and how she was like, "Mommy." And
Oh my
like,
God.
I don't know. It was both touching but also like cringe, and I'm also like I just wish she would
Was
have
it touching? Oh, because.
she was overwhelmed with, you know, emotion, and she wanted to thank her mom and her Latin American roots, and you know, that's something. But it was also kind of like, damn, girl, this movie's ass, and like not what I would have want to go down in history as like my shining moment. God, we should make you watch Emilia Perez someday, like as a watch party or something.
I want to. I wanted to at one point because I wanted to hate it fully, but right now, I don't think I don't think so. Maybe in the future, but right now, no. I've seen enough. I've seen enough online from that movie.
But yeah, I
Which also, like, we had asked people online because, like, this is our roundup kind of episode. I mean, we're talking about new things, but it's also the last episode of the month. And we had asked people, you know, for like questions or feedback on our episodes. And one of them was actually if we feel like award shows like the Grammys or Oscars are rigged. And sorry, I'm bringing that up because like we're on this topic right now. So just like a quick question for you, Ruben.
are they rigged? I think that people have their biases. And I think there's very little that certain type of artists can do to win certain major awards, right? So in order to win a Grammy, for example, you usually need like studio, like record company backing that will promote your album so that the Academy, which is like 13,000 members or something, so a lot of them can listen to your shit, and then they have to pay you to go do promotion and things like that. So money's a big factor there. At the same time, like all the money in the world couldn't buy Beyonce a fucking Grammy, like for a major category, like until there was like community outcry for like a decade. So I think it comes down to biases. I think that over the last half decade, the Recording Academy has become a lot more aligned with the popular culture. Not fully, but a big shift in that was essentially their DEI overhaul that they had like in 2018, I want to say, or 2020, where they added like 6,000 or something new members, and most of them were like people of color or women. Whereas before, like basically all voters like were old white men, and music, if you wanted like one of those records, like one of those awards, you had to make music to appeal to those people. So not sure if rigged is the right word, but I think these type of awards are full of biases that goes into things. Like horror, and on the other side, like the movies, like horror is still not a respected genre in the, film industry, despite sometimes, or very often and historically being like the quickest to comment on like where we are as a society, right? Think about some of the most impactful movies of the last decade or so, and like Get Out is definitely up there for folks, right? And that movie was, sure, it was about racism, but it was about liberalism most of all. And because it was horror, like a lot of the, like it didn't get Best Picture, and it didn't, like, yeah, didn't do a lot of, didn't achieve a lot of things that people were hoping it would. And the same thing for The Substance this year, as we're entering another, I don't know what you want to call it, like recession, and thus, like, the rift between the classes is going to become even more apparent. Substance was not a direct comment on class, but it was a comment on like the even like the luxuries that are available to the 1% that essentially separates them from their humanity. Yeah.
Yes, and on that note, like talking about awards and celebs and movies, I know in our previous episode we talked about what's her name on the.
Rachel Zegler, Gal Gadot.
Yes, is that how you say her name? Gal
I
Gadot?
don't know, and I
I
don't
don't even know how
care.
you say it, right? I think it is. We talked about her getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, walk. I was gonna say Walk of Shame.
Waka flocka.
And now it's so funny because there's like these like videos going around. I think I mentioned that of like just like her terrible acting,
Oh,
but now
yeah.
there's like videos of people like mocking her and like reenacting like her terrible acting, and it's so funny. But on that note, do you know how Snow White is like doing in like box office or like. Are people has like people boycotted it? Is that a word? Boycott? I don't
Yeah, boycott
know.
it. Oof.
I
I
said
let me
boycotted.
see what the deal is. Oh my God. So far the only number I have seen is so it cost $250 million to make. So let's start with that.
Quarter billion?
Yeah, so $270 million to make. But some behind the scenes stuff, like in the movie industry, in the film industry, and honestly, most media, is that the cost of a project, in this case, Snow White, is only half the cost. So Snow White took $270 million to make, but usually advertising, marketing is doubles that. So it's probably another $200 million to promote that, right?
I didn't even see that movie promoted that much.
Me
Or I don't know
either.
if it's because I tuned it out, but like I really did not like see anything about that movie.
Yeah. So usually films, in order to break even, they have to make double their budget just to break even. And then everything after that is like considered like, a success to various degrees. So in order to succeed, to be considered a success, oh my God. Snow White would have had to make essentially $500 million. In its first weekend, it made 42 million, and its second weekend, it made 14 million, leaving it in just under 60 million right now, which means it stands to lose almost $500 million, this movie.
That's
Yeah. So,
Well.
and so people, so there are a lot of reasons that this movie's bombing. First of all, people are tired of these fucking remakes. I fucking hate all these remakes. I think the only one I ever liked was Maleficent, and that's when the concept was still new. Like when the whole live action remake was still new, that concept. And it was usually, I feel like when they started doing these things, it was to like take a new angle on the thing, right? Because Maleficent was like trying to paint her as like a diva done wrong. And a story, honestly, it was a story about like surviving sexual assault, now that I remember the movie correctly.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's pretty
And yeah.
good. The first one, I know there was the second one, but I didn't watch that one. But yeah, the first one was pretty good. And 20 years later, we're still just fucking copy pasting these old Disney movies, these classic Disney movies, into like live action things, sometimes without adding shit. Like, what is that Mufasa ass movie? Like, what is that Lion King thing? What did it, who needed this, like, realistic animal? Like, that was so dumb. But anyway, people are sick of this shit. Secondly, Gal Gadot can't act for shit. There was, you talked about how like there was like clips of her going around of her acting being so bad, but like there was this one tweet that really got me where it was like, yes, Gal Gadot acting is really bad, but that also made her unintentionally very good in Wonder Woman 1, because in Wonder Woman 1 she had to act like she's never interacted with other humans. And so
Is that what it is? That's what she tells herself, I'm sure.
Because yeah, that's like Wonder Woman's thing, as she like leaves the island, but so people are also boycotting the movie because of Gal Gadot, because she's a fucking genocidaire, basically. She promotes the IDF and shit. But a hit piece was commissioned to Variety, about Rachel Zegler, who plays Snow White. And trying to paint her as the reason the movie is flopping. They're saying that her pro-Palestinian stance and progressive stance is hurting the viability of the film. And so apparently behind the scenes, when Snow White was announced a year or two ago, when the trailer was released, she said, "Thank you all for the outpouring love" on Twitter. She tweeted that, and then she followed up with like, "And as always, free Palestine." And those are the last two tweets she ever tweeted. She said, "Thank you for the love for Snow White and also free Palestine." And the apparently like the top executive of like Disney or whatever the fuck flew all the way from LA to New York, like in an emergency flight, to tell her to delete the tweet.
No. That's I think I remember seeing something about this. Like, who is the son? Is he like someone popular or
He
something?
has like two sons. His more popular son is Ben Platt, who played Dear Evan Hansen, and he's like a little homo, like seemingly progressive homo. And he has a brother who's like a conservative theater kid.
Okay. 'Cause they were like they had replied to people talking about like
Yeah, that's a
this
conservative one.
person really flew and tried to like intimidate this young actress into deleting this tweet. And they were like, yeah, he had to leave his family. He had to leave his family because blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you are grown. What do you mean leave his family? And also leave them for how long? Like, this is so dramatic,
They're all
so unnecessary.
30. They're all
And did
his
she
kids.
delete it? No, she
No.
didn't even, she did not delete it. She stood on business. And that is like such a bare minimum thing to do too, that they were like, the fact that they're trying to blame this flop on her on this tweet is wild because I didn't even know that she had tweeted that. I don't even, actually, I'm not even really familiar with this actress at all. The only thing that I know about this movie is that this IDF bitch is in it. And so I will not watch it. But like, I know nothing else of the actress, why people don't like her, or that she even tweeted pro Palestine, like nothing. I know nothing of this. So to say that this movie is flopping because of that is, yeah, they know why it's flopping.
And also, let's talk about how the first Snow White, like, sure, it was like the first animated feature film, breakthrough in animation and art in general. But the movie just never gave for me. Like the original
No,
Snow
it's
White,
very boring.
yeah.
That's a very boring movie. Like, I watched it as a child, but it was not like, I don't, yeah,
No,
no.
of those OG movies, like, 50s, 30s to 50s, like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty, those were the ones.
Yes.
But none of them will ever be The Little Mermaid, so that's it. But yeah, this and like, yeah, also somebody who's very online myself, like I never knew that Rachel Zegler stood on business like that. I just, I just thought she was like another, young ingenue. I know that she was in West Side Story, and then she was the main character in the Hunger Games prequel, which is like so silly to like blame the flop on Rachel when she has proved to be like a blockbuster hit. Like Hunger Games did numbers, West Side Story got Oscars. Yeah, like on top of the, and so this hit piece tried to blame this shit on Rachel Zegler, and apparently Disney had to hire extra security for Gal Gadot because she felt unsafe around
Ugh.
Rachel and the hate
Oh
she
my
whipped up.
gosh.
Yeah, and the hate she was whipping up against Gal Gadot, and they're saying that Gal Gadot never did that, despite her politics, she never whipped up animosity or like made a political statement in the way that Rachel Zegler did.
But
But
she
let
does all the time. She does all the time in interviews, on her Instagram, like just because she didn't do it, I don't know, in some Snow White context, I guess, like on their Twitter page or whatever the fuck. It's like that's all this bitch talks about being in the IDF and about being proud, and that she's from a little, what does she say? Like she's from a little town,
in Israel.
Israel. Like her whole existence, she doesn't even just say anything. It's like her entire existence, if we're being fucking honest. Like, you're a settler bitch. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but like being proud of serving in the IDF and being proud of a nation that is committing genocide, that is a political statement. Like, I don't like calling people terrorists because of, where they're from, like that is a political statement. Screening, like that's not, let's like ignore, let's say let's ignore all that and just talk about right after October 7, 2023, Gal Gadot had that fucking film screening that painted Palestinians as terrorists and tried to invite a bunch of A-listers, but nobody would show up. That is a political statement. But because Disney and all these other corporations are aligned with Israeli interests, that to them is apolitical, right? Things are only political when they bother the ruling class.
Period. Period.
It just like reminds me of like, when people are like, when you try to call out like somebody's being like insensitive because they're being racist or, transphobic or ableist, and somebody responds like, "Oh, don't bring politics in here," right? Like when people say, "Don't bring politics into like the family dinner table and holidays or whatever." And that's because they're uncomfortable with like you calling a spade with you fighting against conservatism and like fighting against the ruling class. Like it is more comfortable to fucking accept that fucking Gal Gadot is promoting genocide than it is because it aligns with US interests than it is to like see the bravery in someone like Rachel Zegler just like standing on business and like supporting Palestinians despite like being cast in this movie with a fucking IDF soldier. Like, so there's been an outpouring of support for Rachel Zegler. People are like Ethel Cain and Pedro Pascal, and all over the internet are like rallying against Rachel Zegler. And basically, Hollywood execs are hopefully realizing that like the tide has turned on Israel. Like people might have been like ignorant to, what the fuck the situation was over there, but they're not anymore. Not after 2 years of Israel bombing Palestine on our tax dollars. People are more aware now. And yeah, but some publications that stood up for Rachel Zegler were like Cosmopolitan and Teen Vogue.
Teen Vogue is always on the right side.
Girl, Teen Vogue, those are my people. Yeah, I am. And that's oh, another person. So Melissa Barrera also has stood up for Rachel Zegler, and she has stood up for her a lot. Mind you, Melissa Barrera has never worked with Rachel Zegler, and she has stood up for Rachel Zegler more than any of her co-stars. So just keep that in mind. And also, the person who wrote the hit piece on Rachel Zegler wrote the hit piece on Melissa Barrera when Melissa Barrera was fired from the Scream franchise for also supporting Palestine. So I know that all these fucking Zionists think that like they're the ones being persecuted, but bitch, y'all are still employed. Y'all are still little puppets of the state, but anybody who's pro-Palestinian is getting arrested, is losing their jobs, and is being persecuted and painted as a fucking enemy here.
Well, do you have anything that you wanted to add about something that we talked about this month? Like, oh, also, I had one more thing to say about this.
To you, people are asking you to do.
Yeah, I'm looking at
They
the
said they want to talk more about gun control, but I mean, what's
okay.
to say? You can take that.
I mean, yes, we can talk more about that. I think at another time, because right now my brain is fried, if I'm being quite honest. But there was a question that I also see on here. What tiny ways do you think I can combat school to prison pipeline and capitalism bullshit as a leftist teacher? Which I think is a great question that we did not talk about on any of our episodes, but I would love to talk about that on another episode. But like, just off the top of my head, there like one little thing is like stop expecting or demanding that kids ask to go to the bathroom. Like, it's when you sit down and think about it, it's no. Like, that is like a very, very tiny way to just having children raise their hand and then sometimes even deny children the right to go to the bathroom is oppressive and controlling. So that's just like one very tiny, tiny little way that you can do that. I mean, based on like, I don't know what, if you're an elementary school teacher or, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter from elementary to high school, but there was like on Twitter actually, like, there was an anarchist user who tweeted ACAB includes teachers that kind of started this whole discourse about teachers being cops, and like people were laughing and being like, oh, this is like so unserious, this is like too woke or whatever. And while I agree and I don't agree, because I do think that a lot of teachers they do move that way. They do move like cops. And that's not just the teachers, that's the whole institution of public schools, school in general. But I also know that there are teachers, obviously, that really care for their children that are trying to do better, like this person who left this comment, right? Like, they are aware of these. I'm hoping like they're aware of how of their position and how they can act like cops, or like they can also be oppressive in these institutions towards children and like trying to make changes. So like, no, not all fucking teachers, obviously, like, but also yes. And so if you like, there's just so many articles. I was trying to pull like one specific one up, but if you Google like teachers or cops, like the first like four even, or like that whole page is like full of like amazing like articles about that connection. I always recommend this book called No Against Adult Supremacy. And you can also Google that and it'll come up and you can read it for free online. You don't even gotta buy the whole book, and it's not just about schooling, it's just about youth liberation. But there is like youth liberation and like an article on youth liberation and deschooling. There is undoing the school to prison pipeline, anarchism and youth liberation. Like, there's like so many good articles and interviews in that book that I recommend this person to read. that left us this comment, but also everybody else. And we'll post like one or two on Bitter Brown Femmes, but like I said, you could just Google "no against adult supremacy" and just kind of get into that.
Get into it. From the last episodes, no, nothing comes to m I did I saw something recently that was an observation about like why does it seem like so many workout bros like have also like this right wing drift, right? And they basically said that like a lot of these workout bros get so into this like grind and hustle mentality that they become like that they inflict loneliness upon themselves and then stop listening to other people essentially, except for like other influencers and other like right wing media that tells them that individualism is the way to go. And that's an interesting observation that I hadn't really connected all the dots, but I had called out and or had like observed even in previous episodes that like a lot of these like healthy people, quote unquote, they supposedly do your own research type of shit when it comes to like what's that, like protein powder and like diet and all that shit, and they just take that into a stupid extreme that leads them to conspiracies and distrust of the general public and distrust of medicine. And yeah, so that was interesting to observe. Yeah, one last thing before we close out the episode that I want to bring up is that people are decontextualizing Chapel Roan's quote on a recent podcast where she said that to stop looking at her for to have the answer on politics, because like, yeah, that is actually the right opinion to have. You should stop looking at celebrities to have all the correct fucking politics. But the children are dragging her because apparently they think that she should have the answers. That if somebody like her is gonna do things like not support Kamala, because of her politics, then she should always be ready to stand and give an opinion about shit. But that's like, that's her personal politics. Like, why don't you develop your own fucking praxis? Yeah.
See, I could see how it's like both. Like, I agree with, yeah, we shouldn't be looking at celebrities for their politics because, like, we assume that celebrities are smart, number one, or that they have like some insight or like empathy, like all of these things. But at the same time, it's like, especially celebrities like Taylor Swift, like Beyonce, Chappell, who do make music or do say or use, like, for example, Taylor Swift and like feminism and Beyonce as well, who have used this in their music and their art for profit, essentially. Like, why shouldn't we expect them to say something about certain things, right? Like talking about Taylor Swift and Beyonce in regards to Palestinian genocide, for example. But so I could see both. It's like, yes, if you're gonna profit off of that and make money and use it, then yeah, we do expect you to say some shit or put your money where your mouth is. And at the same time, it's like you said, I'm not getting my political views from celebrities. So that's what I think about that.
And so what made you less bitter in the last week?
I don't know. I hate that question now, but I want to say, I keep saying I'm going to stop mentioning the sun, but people like when I mention the sun, so I'm going to mention it as a side note, just because I think people should just like go out and to the world and sit in the sun, and you'll feel better. I promise. There's hope in the sun. But also, I think really I want to shout out to my best friend who's listening to this because she listens to me all the time and I really appreciate her. And I guess that's just like the person that is there and like listens to me complain or rant about like the same situation like every fucking time, but like still does it. So, yeah, she makes
Well,
me less bitter.
that's wonderful. What's made me less bitter? I got to see this like stage play of Sailor Moon recently, and that was really cute. It was like something that used to happen in the 90s, but it never made its way to the US. But that was like, oh, like, and I got like dressed up and stuff, and that was super cute. And yeah, my childhood was weird, so I didn't really have a lot of these like childish things growing up, and so it's fun to do them. Yeah.
That's very cute. I saw the photo. Super
Yeah,
cute.
thank
Love
you.
it.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
that's wrapping up this fucking month. sick. Goodbye. Goodbye to March 2025 forever.
Hey, you were all right, Marge.
You were okay in my book.
Yeah.
It was just, it's just these transits are something else. They were something else. The eclipses, the transits, the retrogrades.
Yeah,
It's not good for me. Not good.
I just locked in, and then I
You
like
locked in, I'm like crashing
no, I
out.
like locked in, and that's why I had to dump my situationship, because I was like, you're not letting me lock in right now, essentially. And
I thought it was a relationship.
there was never like, we are
Oh.
boyfriends. Actually, that was another issue, that I kept saying we're not boyfriends, and then he kept being like, why don't you want to be my boyfriend? And I'm like, because of things, and we're not there yet as people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm
Yeah.
happy for with whatever outcome you're happy with. I'm happy with
Thanks.
that for you.
Currently, I'm very happy with that outcome.
Okay. Good for you. Love
Thanks.
it.
All right,
All
Jaw.
right, y'all. We will see you in April then.
All right. Take care of yourselves. All right.
Bye.
Bye.